Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Revelation chapter 17.
I have to admit to you this morning, it's with a real heaviness of heart that I take up this text. This week, Charlotte and I were talking about some of the recent political things that have happened in our nation. And I've gone through all the emotions on that, from anger to hilarity at the silliness of it, to being just brokenhearted that our nation will be so incredibly, and this is the right word, stupid. These are dark, dark days. It's interesting, as the Scripture paints the view of the last days, we who know and love the Lord see them as very dark days. But the worldly man and woman, as they walk through it, will see it as the days of the greatest hope and blessing the world has ever known. Good times are bad. And we see that in our text. I say to you this morning that my heart is filled with these things, and my mind is confused with them. And I'm going to do my best to just share with you the things that I have found in the text, and I trust that they will be helpful to you. And let's pray before we do. Our Father, as we open the blessed book of Revelation and understand that these days will not come upon us unaware as your children, but we will see the day approaching. How else could we respond to it but with grief and anguish and sorrow over a world that willfully turns not only away from you but against you? We know you as the compassionate God who has been moved with our infirmities. You who have given your own Son to redeem us from our iniquities. And we see you so hated by the world. Father, as we enter into this text today, I pray that you would do the work of grace that you have designed for each heart and each life who's here this morning. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Revelation chapter 17. The last time we met together to discuss this, we just introduced the idea of this great whore. That is how God characterizes the coming world government and those who will lead it. He calls them the great whore. I have little doubt in my mind that the first dominant political leader who has approached even expressing this new government, if I can put it in that case, would be George Bush 43, who spoke openly about a new world order. Very welcoming of it. We should not be surprised that the leaders of our own nation would be caught up in this. Come with me then to chapter 17, verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Understand, first of all, that we have this information by the revelation of God. He has chosen to give us this information. In the sorrow that I have experienced in studying and putting my mind to this text, I guess I would only acknowledge that my sorrow and confusion would be greater if we didn't have the revealed Word of God on this matter. There is a confidence and a security in understanding that where we are going is the God-permitted, ordained direction of this world as we anticipate the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I also say with the confidence of the Scriptures, how blessed is the reality that before this day comes in its fullness, our Savior's coming for us. Amen. And He's going to take us home to be with Him. He is going to keep His blessed bride from that hour of trial and tribulation which is coming upon this earth. What glorious good news that is. But there will be a vast host of people who, after that rapture of the church, will respond to their own sinfulness, wickedness, and iniquity, and will turn to Jesus Christ and be saved, and will endure those times. Relative to the coming of this great whore, notice what he says to us in chapter 18 and verse 4. I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people." I think that speaks to us in all the ages. Forever has this been growing, this system that will ultimately capture the world. But it has been around since the days of Genesis chapter 9. And ever and always, God has said to His people, "Come out of her, that ye be not partaker of her sins, and ye receive not of her plagues." I want you to see that this great whore is pervasive in her reach. It says that she sitteth upon many waters. That opens to us the understanding that this whorish, fornicating government that will control the vast amount of the world in the last days will sit upon most of it. It says many waters. It doesn't say all. There may be indeed some holdouts. But she will be very pervasive in her reach. It is an international phenomenon that is coming. And that's one of the things that just makes me bristle at a president who I respected and respect yet to this day, who spoke openly and invitingly of a new world order. What will this new world order be? We've discussed that a little bit on the last Sunday evening that we met together and talked about this. We brought up some names and organizations to you, which may well be the forerunners of this thing. And I would say to you, as we approach the day, these things are going to become more transparent to us who are the children of God and to those of us who know the revealed Word of God. It will just become apparent to us. The United Nations is a candidate. The Council on Foreign Relations is a candidate. The Trilateral Commission. You know what the Trilateral Commission is? It's a group that dominates the ideas about world trade and is very influential in molding our trade ideas within the compass of Washington, D.C. The Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and also a group known as the Bilderbergers are all joined at the hip with equal objectives in governing the world. It's a shadow government that at this time will be turned obvious and welcomed. Now, that is just predominantly the political side of it, but we'll talk about this more this morning. I think we'll get there. It is also combined with a religious world. And it's interesting today that we see our political world and understand that the United States is no longer an independent, self-governing group. We have come under the influence of the broader dictates of the world and have begun to allow ourselves to be dominated by their hopes and their wishes. It is amazing to see how that broader group has brought into their association the Pope. And there's that combining now of these broad interests of, I'm choosing my words carefully here, the secular world with the religious world, and those two things must come together, and that's part of the use of the word fornication in our text. Notice with me verse 2 then. Speaking of this entity, and we'll just call her the great whore, it says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. That is, the world leaders have fornicated with her. Now, isn't that an interesting idea? And I was saying, the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Let me suggest to you how that works out. That is, they have cooperated with her against the best and faithful interest due to their own people. That is, in terms of America itself, we would find our leaders doing things that are not in our best interest in order to please this new world order that's coming. And our independence as a nation is increasingly surrendered to the broader interests of a world that's gone or always been awry. Some basic places where we would see this would be in our trade laws, environmental notions, and peace negotiations. Now, not only is there that fornication of the kings of the earth, but there is the fornication of the church with that whore to the point that they become one identity that cannot be divided. And we have been warned of this in the Scriptures. Now notice, it also includes the general population. In verse 2, it says, "The kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth, rather than so much committing fornication, have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Her fornication has produced an incredible amount of opportunity and wealth. That is one thing that I think we have in the past quickly slid over and not paused to consider it. Let us understand. Remember the old country western song? Love makes the world go round, but... do you know that song? Money greases the wheel. We are a people given to money. And we'll see this when we get to chapter 18. And this whore is destroyed. And we find the merchants of our world bewailing this loss because she was the key to all of their wealth. We will see that when we get to chapter 18. Now verse 3, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman upon a scarlet-colored beast full of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns." In the last, she is linked specifically with the beast. I believe this beast is a revived European empire, which when the European Commonwealth came into being and the Euro dollar and things like that, a lot of men in the prophetic scriptures who commented on them said, "Here it comes," and they may well be right. And we're going to find that there is a symbiotic relationship between this world government and this European government, where the European government, whose head will be Antichrist, will rise to supremacy through the aid of this great whore. It is my view, and I'm going to try to be clear about it when I come on things like this. It is my view, emphasis on mine, okay, that she, that is the whore, arises early and aids in the rise of the Antichrist. So we would be seeing the development of this whore as the days approach. It would be possible, if not probable, that the false prophet has his original home with the harlot. He begins as an advocate of an apostate Christendom and morphs into an advocate of the Antichrist. Now come with me to verse 4. "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color." See how this brings out the issue of her wealth. "Decked with gold, precious stones, pearls, having a golden cup in her hand of abominations and filthiness of fornication." This is a statement about her wealth, her wicked affiliations. One great aspect of this will be when the political whore merges with a religious whore. I think I mentioned to you this the last time we met together. Karl Marx has said that religion is the opiate of the world. There are those in our world that will be driven predominantly by the financial and powerful benefits of this new world order that's coming. But by and large, people are directed by what they believe. And so religion will be a very particular and important aspect of this. So then, false Christianity significantly aids this political institution in its rise. The false church basks then in the wealth of this political group. Hence, the church can say in Revelation 3:17, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knoweth not that she is wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. It is very likely that the leader of this Christendom will be the false prophet who hails and promotes the Antichrist in the end. Notice with me then verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon. Please understand the importance of this word, mystery. I think that includes the idea that she will come up as a shadow, almost mysteriously, something that has been hidden and is now become apparent. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. This is the fulfillment of the dream of man throughout all the ages. First seen in Genesis chapter 11, there in the Tower of Babel, which was confused and dispersed by God by the confusion of languages. And in the end, we will see in Revelation chapter 17, she will be destroyed by the jealousy of the Antichrist. Notice with me then verse 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints. It is she. And predominantly we would be looking here, I believe, at her religious identification. It is she that is charged with both the hatred for and the killing of God's people throughout the ages. And I would bring to your attention that today, like no other day that we have experienced, people of biblical morality are being isolated and maligned in today's world as haters and harmful to society. The stage is being set for the martyrdom of God's people. Like never before, we are hitting heads with the world in the conflict of truth and immorality. I come to this with a little caution, but I want to bring it to your attention. I have some questions regarding much of what goes as martyrdom today that, in my mind, is more likely a matter of political disharmony. We find in places like Syria and Egypt, the news speaks of hundreds, if not thousands, of Christians being killed. Please understand that the majority of these people who are identified as Christians are either Eastern Orthodox or Roman Catholic, and probably have little appreciation for the true Christian faith. It's more like the old religious wars, the holy wars. Not that I'm not compassionate with all of that and the people that are being killed, but I don't think it rises to the mark of martyrdom where those who are purely given to the Lord Jesus Christ and His Scriptures and standing for Him alone are losing their lives for that stand. It is not a political stand. Stand upon the truth of God. Now, there certainly are exceptions to this, especially in some of the crimes that we see committed in Africa. But possibly the best illustration of this martyrdom that is coming is the martyrdom of the Protestants from 1400 to 1600 at the hands of both Romanism and Anglicanism. Please understand, it was superficially acknowledged Christian organizations who were killing the genuine people of God in those years. And that's what it will be in the future when this harlot who was identified with Christianity, only nominally so, will begin to martyr those who are true followers of Jesus Christ. We finish up now in verse 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. When I saw that and began to work on that, I thought, John, you would not admire the work of this whore. It caused me to do a little studying, both in the English and Greek, in the word that is there. And it means that John was both amazed and confused at what he saw. He looked at this coming world and he thought, how could it be? And any ability to understand it or to dissect it is gone. It's confused. How much that is like today. I plead with you, your patience. I know I've gone over time, but I want to finish my thought. Two areas where we see this confusion today. One would be for us very locally as Americans. We have a government that no longer seems to represent the aggregate and best interests of its people. How else could you characterize that better than whoredom? Our leaders are unfaithful to their spouse, the people. And we say, what crazy agenda is driving our leadership? Do you know that today over 80% of Americans would prefer that creation be taught in our schools? But yet it's illegal? Who's running the place? Folks, the inmates have taken over the institution. An area where this has been in the news so much this week is absolutely phenomenal. 1/3 of 1% of Americans claim to be transsexual. But they bend and force our society not just to tolerate them, but to endorse their choice. How can that be? Unless there is some mysterious agenda that is forcing our country and our world. But folks, even worse than that, in America today, we have a church that looks more like the world than like the church of the New Testament scriptures. A church that has given her allegiance and gifts and attention to the world and not her Savior. It has grown and grown and grown, and it all began so innocently. I've had the privilege to watch it grow. As all of a sudden, we see it now, I guess, over the years, the work of God has become the work of man. Let me just suggest some things to you that I've written here in my notes. Years ago, our churches began to add worldly enticements to their ministries. It began with Sunday school contests with physical rewards. That should have caused our, wait a minute. Are we serving our Lord? Do we need to be motivated to win a Sunday school contest? Worldly, carnal programs to build satisfaction and outreach for our churches. Softball, basketball, etc. And many more became attached to these things than they did to the things of God. And the cart began to steer the horse. Then entertainment became ministry. Both music and theater. Music is a thing, folks, that is a wonderful gift of God. We're going to get together this evening and have a singspiration. What a wonderful thing that is. But it is also a dangerous thing. It needs to be kept in its place. I remember reading the words of Charles Spurgeon regarding the Metropolitan Tabernacle on the Sunday they moved a piano into their tabernacle. Everybody was so excited that we've got a piano in the church. And Spurgeon's words were, I fear we will regret this day. Is the problem the piano and instruments? No. Pianos and instruments are a thing of God. But music is a dangerous thing. It needs to be kept in its place, that's all, and be enjoyed and used by the people of God. But what has happened? Entertainment has become ministry until at this time even worship is characterized by music, lighting, volume, environment, stagemanship that mirrors the world. We, as John, look on with amazement and confusion, and we wonder today, innocently so, where does the church end and the world begin? The whore has come. In many cases, we are it. And God help us in these days. And if I seem like I'm talking like somebody who knows and understands has all the answers, please understand the confession of your associate pastor and myself. We look at ourselves at times and we say, are we just being knotheads? But folks, I'm going to continue to be a knothead for my God and for His people. Well, I wrote down a little note here. I don't know where your minds will be after listening to me spout off my stuff about this. But let me say this. If we want to do something for our own entertainment here at Bethel Baptist Church, that's just fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But the ministry of the church is an entirely different thing. Let's not mix things up. God help us to be a faithful people. God bless you.